Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing looking at the life of David, and we're in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. And this is one of these episodes, one of these accounts that we really have a hard time understanding. And the things that we do understand about it, it's very heartbreaking, sort of challenging, maybe even frightening. It makes you wonder about some things. There's some things here that we'll see that you think, well, what about this? What about that? And that's okay. It's good to wonder. So anyway, let's just look into it. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1 says this. Now, there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. So immediately we get a context here. It's in the days of David. So David is ruling as king. We're not told exactly when it was during the reign of David. Because of the subject matter we're about to see, it might have been earlier in his reign, at the beginning of his reign, but we're simply not told. Okay, but we're told that there's a famine, and it's a famine that lasted 3 years. So the account is being given after the famine has been released. Okay, in other words, things have been restored. And it says this, there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. Well, why year after year? Well, the idea being that they didn't have a famine for a year, then have 2 good years, then have another year of famine. It was 3 years in a row. Then it continues, and David sought the presence of the Lord. He sought the presence of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's finish the verse. Maybe that'll help us. And the Lord said, it is for Saul and his bloody house because he put the Gibeonites to death. So there we go. We get the whole context. We get a question of why. We get an answer of why. We may not understand it. David sought the presence of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. We've seen David do this several times. And actually in this account right here is a good example of how he has sought the presence of the Lord, inquired of the Lord, and then did things based upon that. But there's other things that he's going to be doing here in this story that maybe he should have inquired of the Lord again. I'm not second-guessing him. The scripture's not second-guessing him. But you will see that you're going to be thinking, wait a minute, what is going on here? What is happening? So he inquires of the Lord. He seeks the presence of the Lord. Like, why is there a famine going on? We've had a famine here for 3 years, God. What is this? And the Lord tells him, it's because of Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death. And many a commentator has said, well, we don't have a biblical account of this. Well, I know what they mean by that. When you go search the Bible, you're not going to find an account of how Saul sought to put the Gibeonites to death. But guess what? It says right here that he sought to put the Gibeonites to death. And apparently he did put some of them to death, because God describes him as Saul and his bloody house. He had shed blood. Now we see, I think in the book of Joshua, where Israel had signed, made a covenant with the Gibeonites. They weren't supposed to do that, but they did it. I think this was the episode where they were sort of tricked into it. And so they had a relationship with them. And Saul, well, let's just read the next verse. It gives a little insight to it. Verse 2. So the king, this is David, called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. And then this little parenthetical statement to finish out the second verse. Now the Gibeonites were not of the sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Well, that gives a lot of explanation and insight in some things. So the Gibeonites were not of Israel. They were actually Amorites, leftover Amorites. But the sons of Israel had made a covenant with them many years before. Saul sought to kill them. What was his motivation? It tells us point blank here. It was zeal. Zeal for the sons of Israel and zeal for Judah. In other words, religious zeal that these folks were not of Israel, so he wanted to do away with them, even though Israel had made a covenant with them. Saul was more than willing to let go of the covenant, to destroy the covenant, to kill them. And this is displeasing in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 3. Thus David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And how can I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" In other words, he comes to him and says, "Hey, you know, what can I do for you? I'm sorry this happened. You know, what can I do? What can I do to make atonement?" In other words, to cover for this sin that was done against you. Now, Saul is long dead. Yeah, this has happened in the past. We see that David sought the presence of the Lord, and the Lord tells him what the issue is. We don't have an account where David asked the Lord what he should have done or what he should do. Perhaps the Lord did say, "Go ask them what they want," but we're not told that. Perhaps these going and saying, "What shall I do for you?" simply comes from David. We're not told. Verse 4. Then the Gibeonites said to him, "We have no concern of silver or gold with Saul or his house, nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel." So when he asked them, what shall I do for you? You know, what can I do to make this right? And they said, "Hey, we're not worried about this. There's no silver, no gold that's going to atone for this. Nothing from the house of Saul that we want like this. Nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel. It's not our role to put anybody to death in Israel." Well, where'd that come about? What was that all about? Are they dropping a bit of a subtle hint right here? Saying, hey, that what was done to us really actually requires a death penalty, but we don't have the role, we don't have any function within Israel to expedite that. Notice how he says it, okay? Nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel. The inference here is all these people that deserve to die because of this, but we can't have anything to do with that. Verse 4 continues, and David said, "I will do for you whatever you say." I wonder if he inquired of the Lord before he said that. Yeah, you see where I'm going with this. Verse 5. So they said to the king, "The man who consumed us and who planned to exterminate us from remaining within any border of Israel, let 7 men from his sons be given to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord." And the king said, "I will give them." And we go, what? What? First they say, well, hey, there's no silver or gold that can atone for this kind of thing, that can cover for it. And it's not within our power to put anybody to death. And Israel, so don't worry about it. David pushes him on him. He says, "I'll do whatever you say." Well, they had a quick response then. Did they not? They had a quick response, okay? They said, hey, the man who consumed us, that would be Saul, and who planned to exterminate us, that would be Saul, from remaining within any border of Israel. So we see what Saul's plan was. He did consume some of them. He killed some of them. He planned on exterminating every one of us and driving them all out of the border of Israel. They say this, let 7 men from his son be given to us and we'll hang them. 7 men. Yeah, that's a picture right there of completeness, of wholeness. 7 men. And we're going to hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul. We're going to do it up on Saul's land. And then this, the Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord. They're acknowledging that Saul was the chosen of the Lord. Might be saying it with a degree of facetiousness right there. I don't know. But they said, give us 7 of his sons. And David says, I'll give them to you. Really? Yep. We'll look at the rest of the account next time. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.